Come on, somebody put your hands together for Jesus. Come on, take time to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The El Shaddai, the Alpha and the Omega. The soon incoming King. Amen. The wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. Jesus is my hope. Jesus is my peace. Amen. I love what I feel in the house tonight. I'm going to, right now, Mr. Soundman is probably going to be my best friend. With that saying, I have, don't know how much voice I've got left. But I know that God wants to do something tonight. Amen. Now, if this thing goes out, that's fine with me. We'll just let the Lord just move, okay? But I believe God has something in store for us tonight. Amen. How many of you come expecting tonight? Amen. 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 Mark chapter 2 tonight. Amen. If you have your Bibles. So appreciate the hospitality that's been shown, amen, to me these last 2 days. I believe God is well pleased, and I just wish my wife could be here, amen, and my daughters could be here, but she sends her love, and she's praying, and Lord's willing, hopefully we'll get a chance to come back, and you guys get a chance to meet my wife, amen. She's a praying woman, and she works behind the scenes. I called home on the way over, and my wife wanted me to come home, and I said, well, honey, I'll wait till after service, and I may come home in the morning. But those girls got on the phone and said, Daddy, when you coming home? Well, I'll be home after service. Amen. Something about those girls, they just, amen, get a hold of Daddy's heart. And my youngest is about to graduate. She's 17, and God, she's dating this guy who's full of the Holy Ghost. But I've been praying, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. And I believe my prayers are going to get answered. Amen. But I love my daughters. I've always want the best for them. Amen. All of my kids are baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. That was my dream. For my kids to walk in truth. And I'm just excited about what God is doing. I feel revival is breaking out in Cleveland. I feel it, amen. I've never weeped as much as I've weeped the last 2 days, amen. But I feel God is moving here in Cleveland, amen and amen. Mark chapter number 2, and I'm going to just read two portions of scripture. I tossed and tumbled this afternoon, but I feel, amen, led to preach tonight. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised abroad that he was in the house. And straightway, many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. Something about Jesus that they just had to get in his presence. And we'll preach. But I want to preach today, tonight, with the help of the Lord on a simple subject to somebody. What's to come is better than what's been. What's to come, it's better than what's been. I want you to place your Bibles down. I want you to help me pray. Amen. I want you to look down your row. Amen. I want you to look at those people beside you with those pearly whites. And I want you to send up a prayer. Amen. On their behalf. Say, Lord, touch my neighbor. Fill him with the Holy Ghost again. God, baptize him. Heal him. Give him a revelation today. Lord, we love you tonight. God, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to be in your presence one more time, God. And we know, Lord, that it's by your mercy and grace that we're here tonight, God. I pray, God, that you anoint this place, God. Anoint this temple tonight, Lord. God, that you'll be glorified. You'll be edified tonight, Lord. And we promise to give you praise and glory. Come on, somebody lift your voice right now in the house. Shalabahaye. Come on, somebody lift your voice in the house. Come on, don't be bashful. Don't be timid, but lift your voice. Because chains are being broken right now. Yeah, and the Holy Ghost is walking down your road right now, sir. He's walking down your avenue right now, ma'am. The master of the wind is coming to your rescue. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated if you want to. Don't get too comfortable in Jesus' name. We know that anyone in the scripture who ever pursued Jesus with one purpose, and that was to receive something from Jesus. Amen. I don't believe this was for any kind of gain or any kind of fame. Anyone who ever approached Jesus left different than when they came. We find in scripture of a man with a disease of leprosy. According to the law, he is not supposed to be in the presence of God to begin with. According to the law, he's labeled as an outcast. He's labeled as a nobody to society. He didn't have friends, amen, he didn't have loved ones, but he found himself secluded to a leper colony. This terrible disease would attack the joints, amen, and any moment his hand could fall off, or at any moment his foot could fall off, or his legs could fall off, or he could die because he had this disease, this debilitating disease that would cripple and cause the ligaments to become weak. But this one man we preach about and we hear about in scripture, we find that there was something about this man that drove him into the presence of Jesus. What would cause somebody who was to be considered an outcast to go into society, and to make matters worse, he would to declare to everybody else that he was the one who was unclean. Can you imagine with me tonight walking out into downtown Cleveland and declaring to all Cleveland, I have sin on my life? Because at the end of the day, leprosy was a type of sin. And we find this man one day, something happened to cause him to find out Jesus was on the mountaintop having revival with the disciples. And the Bible says as Jesus came down from the mountain, he noticed a straggler behind him. No, it was not one of the disciples. No, it was not blind Bartimaeus. No, it was not even a friend of Jesus. But to our surprise, it was this man who had leprosy. What drove him into the presence of God? Now, I don't believe he just walked into the presence of God. I believe that he had to hear about Jesus. Amen. I don't know how many people who just walked into the house of God and received the Holy Ghost, but somewhere in your life, when you hit rock bottom, you were considered an outcast. You remembered that somebody told you about Jesus. Amen. Somebody told you about a God that if you can ever get in his presence and call his name to stop, he will heal your body and he will make you whole. So this man, we find that, amen, Jesus sees him and Jesus heals him. And now Jesus said, I want you to do me a favor. Don't you go tell no man, but go show yourself to the priest. In other words, Jesus said, I just healed you and don't you go tell nobody. Now, I thought about that for a while, Pastor, and I said, wait a minute now, Jesus. this man had to live his life with this dreadful disease, and this is all he knew was just sin. And now you heal him and you tell him to go, don't go tell nobody. Now, I don't know how you feel, but I believe right then I would have to say, Jesus, wait a minute. Jesus, wait a minute. Now, my family persecuted me. Friends run me down because I was considered an outcast. But now you have healed me and you expect me not to tell nobody. Jesus, wait a minute. I've had to go through some tough times in life and life has dealt me a bad blow. But now that I'm healed, you expect me to sit down like a lump on a log and not say nothing. Jesus, excuse me. But I've just got to publish it abroad that Jesus is still a healer. I've got to let somebody know that he's still a God that'll wash away your sins. I've got to let him know that he's a God that'll put the pieces of a broken life back together again. That's what he does. So we find that, amen, anyone who ever approached Jesus, they left different than when they came. It was the New Testament hero by the name of Blind Bartimaeus, and it's one thing to be identified by your name, but he is identified by a blind beggar. We know him as a blind beggar, but the Bible says that there came a day when Blind Bartimaeus was sitting by the wayside and he heard a commotion. He could not see, but he heard a commotion. And it drew to his conscience, or it drew to his mind, amen, what could possibly be going on. It was not just some kind of ordinary roar, but there was a roar as though somebody was coming down his dusty road. He couldn't see them, but he heard a certain sound that let him know that somebody was coming down his dusty road. It was a sound he hadn't heard before, but he could tell by the excitement of the crowd that somebody was coming down his dusty road. Here is this blind Bartimaeus, and he can't see, but he hears sound. I believe he began to ask himself, who could it be? And I believe the closer that Jesus got to being in his vicinity, I believe that the roar of the crowd got that much louder. Because now Jesus was not just in a distance journey far away, but now Jesus had come to where blind Bartimaeus was. I believe today that, amen, blind Bartimaeus, in order to get excited about Jesus, that he first had to hear something about Jesus. I don't believe just the roar of the crowd will cause him to cry out. No, but I believe that blind Bartimaeus heard somewhere down the road before his time, amen, that there was a woman who had an issue of blood. Amen. She was down, amen, to her expiration time in that life. The issue had got her to the point where it was a do or die situation. But Jesus came down her way. Amen. The crowd began to roar. I believe he heard this story. Amen. That she got in the pathway of Jesus, reached out with everything that she had, broken in her body, had an issue in her body, but there was something called faith that caused her to reach beyond the crowd and just touch the hem of his garment. And God, I believe it was that same Jesus that he heard was passing by one day, and a woman was taking her son to be buried, but Jesus said no, and he touched the casket. I'm going to preach to somebody that you got to hear what Jesus is doing in this house. You got to know that God is doing something in this house. The Bible says that it was noise abroad that he was in the house. Now, if you're a guest of ours, this will probably be your time to take a deep breath. And if we were traveling on a plane, I would probably tell you, you can unfasten your seatbelt and you can walk around the cabin. Amen. But if you are a part of this church and you've, amen, repented of your sins and been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, now keep your seatbelt fastened, because we're going to hit a little turbulence right now. The Bible says that, amen, there was a noise coming from the house. So, amen, in order for them to recognize who was in the house, there was a noise coming from the house. Let me tell you today, church, and I feel this in the Holy Ghost, amen, that outside of these walls, there are people who are hurting. Outside of these walls, there are people who are lost, and the last thing they need is to come to a church where there is no excitement about Jesus, where there is no movement, where there is no worship, where there, come on, I don't mean to step on your toes, but there has to be a sound coming from the house of God that will let this world know we've got the answer to your cancer, we've got the answer to your problem, we've got the answer to your dilemma. And if you can ever come see a man by the name of Jesus, see, I didn't come to rev you up. No. But I did come to let you know that there has to be a sound coming out of this building. Listen, we just come out of a pandemic. We should be on fire. Because we know soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. And there'll be no dying there. And there'll be no cancer there. And there'll be no racism there. And there'll be no prejudice there. And there'll be no fighting there, because we're going to a better place. We're just citizens. This world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. We're going to a better place. I don't know what excites you. Maybe it's a 3-point shot at the buzzer. I don't know. Maybe it's a field goal in overtime. Maybe it's a raise on the check on the job. Maybe it's a promotion on the job. Maybe it's a new house. But nothing excites me more. And I just gotta tell somebody, friend, amen, nothing excites me more than to know that there was a day. There was a day I was lost in sin. Oh, don't just look at what you see. I'm going to tell you what you need to know. There was a day I used to mess in sin. But there was a day that Jesus came to right where I was. And when I recognized that Jesus was in my vicinity, nobody could tell me to be quiet. Nobody had to tell me to hush. Nobody could tell me to wait my turn. But I had to go above and beyond and climb a sycamore tree and cry out the more, Jesus. Come on, I wish somebody that cry out the more. Do you still gotta cry? I know you gotta shout, but can you cry and get him to stop? I don't mean to offend you, but this is not the hour to be quiet. I just don't like going to dead church. I'm sorry. I may not be your favorite preacher after today. But the church was introduced to the world with a blaze of glory. They stepped out of that room drunk in their minds. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with us. We need to get drunk on Jesus. I think sometimes we want to control the movement of God. I'm looking at people, man, you go home, you can get in front of that mirror, and you can crack an album singing. shouting and dancing. And when you come to the house of God, we'll sit back like he owes us everything. At the end of the day, he owes you nothing. He doesn't owe you another second. He doesn't owe you another day. We don't deserve mercy. And listen, I don't know how you feel, but I woke up this morning, I had one thing on my mind. If I can ever get in the house of God, I'm gonna praise God like I've lost my mind. I don't care if this offends you. I don't care if it makes you sick. That's okay. Pray about it. Because there was a day he took my old sins and he washed them in blood, made me white as snow, forgave me of my sins. And I'm excited tonight to know that there's still some people who still believe that God is still able to do it. Oh yes, he can do it. That's the reason why some of us can shout and dance like we lost our minds. Because we know where he brought us from. Let's be honest. Some of you were strung out on drugs, but he brought you a mighty long way. Now listen, don't ever be ashamed of your testimony. I think sometimes we get ashamed of where he brought us from. If we had known where God was going to bring us, if we had known the plans that God had for us. But you see, we don't know what God is up to. The Bible says that they were in this room and he was teaching to them the word of God. People who were broke, they just wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. They got in this room. They were so tight, man, you couldn't even peek through the windows. But now we're introduced to this guy in the scriptures who has this issue, palsy. He has this issue. He's bedridden. He wakes up every day. He looks in the mirror, looks at his situation day in and day out. But there was one day, I believe his friends heard about this man named Jesus. And they said, if we can ever get to Jesus, if we can ever get to Jesus, I'm convinced he'll get healed. I believe one of them went to the house and looked, come back in desperation, said, we can't get in because the doors are jammed, can't get through the windows. You can't even get a nickel in the house. How in the world are we going to get a bed in the house? And Jesus is teaching. And Jesus, after he's teaching, he's leaving. So that's when desperation kicks in, because they said, listen, no matter what the case may be, we've got to get him to Jesus. No matter what we have to do, we have to get him to Jesus. The opposition is the house. Because we can't, can you just imagine trying to get into the church tonight and the house is full and you got a friend who has a need in their life and you know that Jesus is the only one that can heal them? Can you just imagine? I believe there'll be some folks who'll just go home. Come on, let's be honest. It's okay. Be honest with me. Let's be honest with me. There'll be some people who say, you know what, it's not even worth the risk. Let's just go home. He'll just have to deal with it. I'm so glad I ain't got friends like that. There was something about his friends. I believe they sensed the heartache in this man. I believe they sensed the hurt in this man. I believe they sensed the frustration in this man. I believe they were sick and tired of waking up every morning, looking at him cry every single morning because his situation didn't get better. But they heard in that house that there was a sound, there was a noise. Amen. That there was such a noise that the walls would shake and the windows would vibrate because Jesus was teaching and everyone was excited to hear what the Messiah had to say. I believe that they picked accept what was going on. And they said, you know what? I don't care what we have to do, but we've got to get him to Jesus. Let me preach to somebody right now in the Holy Ghost. I don't care what you have to do tonight. I don't care what you came here with, but I want you to know in the Holy Ghost that you can't stop praising God until you get to Jesus. You got to keep clapping your hands until he comes to your rescue. You got to lift your voice until he comes down your pew. I don't care what the crowd says. I don't care what your neighbor says. I don't care what conditions may be like. It doesn't matter when it may come. You got to keep praising God until he comes to your rescue. It called for desperation. It called for going against the grain. It called for one of those scratch your head moments, and let's see what we're going to do about this. They knew they couldn't get in the door. They knew they couldn't go under the foundation. They knew they couldn't get through the windows. Somebody got this bright idea. I could sort of see his friends get a little desperate. I could sort of see all four of them look up. So we can't go underneath. And we can't go to the front door, the side door. We've got one choice. Let's go ahead and disrupt this party. Let's do something that nobody else would expect us to do. Amen. That is the problem today. We're not willing to do what it takes to get God to stop. Sometimes it calls for getting out of your comfort zone. When just a little hallelujah won't do, it calls for a couple more hallelujahs. When a fancy hand clap won't do, it calls for a hand wave or a shout. I'm afraid that some of us are too content in our comfort zones. But I want to preach a word into your spirit right now. There has to be those times you got to come out your comfort zone. You got to let the gates of hell know upon this rock, he's going to build a church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. You got to come. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Every now and then you may have to roll around the floor or take a lap in Jesus' name. But no matter what the case may be, it calls for coming out of your comfort zone. I love those guys, man, who just praise God like they've lost their mind. We were preaching in Cincinnati, Ohio for Brother Joel Urshan a couple years ago. Man, we're having church. And all of a sudden, right before the Holy Ghost broke out, here's this brother come running down the aisle with his baby in his hand. And I'm thinking to myself, what is this guy doing? Is it altar call time? Has he lost his mind? But right smack in the middle of the preaching, he takes his baby by the arm, by the hand, puts his baby on his arms, and he's just going around dancing. He didn't care who was watching him. He didn't care what everybody else was doing. But I watched as the glory of the Holy Ghost began to fall over him. And I watched all of a sudden everyone else says, you know what? We just can't be a spectator. We've got to be a participant. Let me preach to you who have come here tonight to sit back and judge the preacher. We'll give him an A. We'll give him, no. This is not about me. And you're not waiting on Jesus. He's waiting on you. So when was the last time you stood on your feet? And when was the last time you clapped your hands? Come on, I come to wake up a bunch of spiritual deadheads and to let you know that if you don't want your miracle, God will give it to somebody else. If you don't want your healing, he'll give it to somebody else. But no matter what the case may be, I gotta have him come in and straighten me out. So here they are. They're taking him to the rooftop. His four friends are taking him to the rooftop, man. They get him up to the top. And see, you got him so far up that your faith says, Nothing's going to stop me now. I don't care. I may have to pull back the shingles. Somehow get between the rafters. But I've come too far to turn back now. I've been up here all day trying to get him to the rooftop. And now that I got him here, you think I'm going to stop now? He's pulling back shingles, man. He's tearing back shingles. He's pushing back. And I can see his friends say, come on, we can do this. Come on, we can do this. Come on, we can do this. That's why it's very important these last days that you surround yourself with people who will fuel your faith and not your fear. I'm sorry, but if they got a negative spirit, it's time to check out. I can't hang around you. I love you in Jesus' name, but you gotta go. I've got a better goal in mind. I'm starting to see the bright lights are shining. I've got to get my soul right. I've got to let you go because God is coming.
He's got these
four crazy friends. Pulling back. And I can sort of see them as they get to the inside. I can sort of see the dust starting to fall. Jesus is teaching, man. He's teaching. We don't know what he's teaching, but he's teaching. And all of a sudden, he looks up. Everyone looks up and they see this bed come down. Can you imagine sitting here? We see this bed come down. What in the world's going on? In the world? What in the heck is going on with these guys? What in the world is going on? And I can see everyone sitting around chastising them. You've interrupted our meeting. Jesus is trying to teach us. I could see that bed keep falling, and I could see Jesus sitting there with a smile on his face. Everyone else chastising them. I wish they'd use the front door. Well, they couldn't use the front door. I wish they'd come through the window. Well, they couldn't come through the window. I wish they went to the back. Well, they couldn't come through the back door. But they had a need in their life. You see, when you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, something's going to click in your mind. There's got to be something better than what I'm going through. There's got to be a better way. There has to be something greater than this dilemma. And the Bible says, amen, that bed was laid down. And notice what Jesus did. He looked at them and he saw their faith. Come on, I'm preaching somebody right now. You gotta have faith tonight. More than ever, you gotta have faith to believe God for a miracle. He's looking for somebody who's got faith that says, I don't know how it's gonna turn out, but God, I'm gonna praise you because I have the revelation that what's to come is a whole lot better than what I'm going through. I mean, greater's around the corner. God's got a better day with your name attached to it. Jesus, he saw their faith. He said, rise up. Take up your bed and walk. This man lived his life to that point. Misery and pain. But what he did not know, that what was to come was a whole lot better than what he was going through. Hear me, somebody in the Holy Ghost. Let me just deposit this into your spirit tonight. Amen. That what you're going through is just a trial. And what's to come is going to be a whole lot better than what you're going through. Amen. You just got to learn to hang on and grab a hold of Jesus. And every opportunity you get, you have to let him know, Jesus, I love you. You are the best thing that's ever happened in my life. You need to get intimate with God. You can't just have a one day, a Sunday afternoon relationship. No, you got to love Jesus on Sunday. You got to love him on Monday afternoon when nobody's looking. You got to love him Tuesday while you're at Kroger's. You got to love him on Wednesday when you're your job. You gotta love him on Thursday when you're having a bad day. You gotta love him on Friday when Come on, stand with me right now. Jesus, stand. I feel the Holy Ghost. Listen, you people, my wife is going to be dearly upset because you people have caused me to go through 2 suits and 3 shirts today. But can I tell you, it's been well worth it. But hear me, somebody in the house, in Jesus' name. See, here now is when it gets a little tough. I'm trying to bring you back home to Cleveland. Is that the nearest airport? Trying to get back to Cleveland. But it starts to get a little rocky. That's why I hate riding airplanes, because when they say, hold on, we're about to descend back down into our landing, it gets a little choppy. Because we want just a smooth landing. We don't want to sit there and endure the turbulence. Hear me, somebody in the house. It's not by happenstance you walked in here tonight. I'm talking about God who knows all things. He knew you'd be here at this time, at this date. He knew who'd be preaching and what I'd be preaching. And God knows what decision you're going to make before I even ask the question. Because while I'm speaking, there's people hearing the sound of my voice that the devil's saying it's not going to get any better. All you see is hurt. All you see is doom and gloom. And destruction. That's all you see. But you can't go on what you see tonight. You got to go on what you know. And I want somebody to hear me today in the Holy Ghost. And I want you to know that God loves you. Amen. He died for your sins, not just mine, for your sins. Amen. He took your sins to the cross. Amen. He's not willing that none should perish, but that everybody should come to repentance. He's no respecter of persons. I know the thief has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, that's okay. I'm coming that you might have life and that you might have more abundantly. It's the will of God tonight for somebody to come out of your cave and say, Lord, I've got to have better than this. There's got to be something greater than what I'm going through. There has to be something greater than the sickness. Something greater than the... I've got the answer, friend. It's the Holy Ghost. It will lead and guide you through every trial, every dilemma, and all the ups and downs. The Holy Ghost will wipe your eyes, and the Holy Ghost will take that frown and turn it upside down. Hey! Come on, every hand raised in this building right now. I feel the Holy Ghost. Come on. We don't need spectators. We need participants right now. Come on. We don't need people looking. We need people praying. We don't need people watching. I need people praying. Shout out, Mahoye. Ikatolo boyo. Shout out, Mahai. Ha. Ha. That lets me know that somebody's crying out for more.
Oh, God. Halabo Shakai. Halabo Hoye. Halabo Shakai.
Here's what's going to happen right now in Jesus' name. The Holy Ghost is here. Jesus has entered the room. Listen, I don't want you to be afraid of what you feel. This is the best feeling that you ever feel. I don't want you to be scared or intimidated by what's going on. Hear me. Because this is the real thing right here. This right here has no respect for persons. This right here doesn't care if you're educated or non-educated, rich or poor, black or white. This right here is changing lives. Take this whole world, but just give me this moment right here is what I've been longing for. This moment right here is what I've been reaching for. This moment right here is what I've been praying for. You can take my job, take my house, take my finances, but this moment right here is what I've been dying for. This moment right here is what I've been praying for. And the Holy Ghost is here to do what you want Him to do. So here we go. Hear me right now in Jesus' name. There's people right here on the sound of my voice. Hear me. You know where you stand with God. And you even said in yourself, I don't think it can get any better than this. Because all you see is the hurt and the pain and the disappointment and the spiritual scars and the hurt. That's all you see. You'll never go beyond what you see. But hear me. God knows exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly the confusion and the chaos that you have to go home to. He knows exactly what's been going on in your mind. He knows exactly the doctor's report. He knows exactly the dilemma you have to deal with. He knows exactly, amen, your financial situations. He knows exactly, amen, your spiritual walk with Him. He knows exactly what you have to deal with. He knows exactly how many times you went home and cried yourself to sleep because life is not good. He knows exactly what you're dealing with. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. I don't want you looking around. Hear me when I make this statement. Because, listen, you want the goods first. But it's not all about the goods. It's all about seeking Him first. When was the last time you told Him you love Him? When was the last time you just fell in love with Him all over again? There's people on the sound of my voice, you don't even have the Holy Ghost. Can I let you know God's chasing after you tonight? As a matter of fact, He's knocking on your heart's door right now. But he's a gentleman. He's not just going to bust the door down and come in and rearrange the heart. No, no, no. Because you probably got the door barricaded. Truth be told. But He's knocking on the heart's door. Knock, 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 knock. Because He wants to come in. He wants to give you a new heart. He wants to wipe away the pain and the hurt and the confusion and the misery and the disappointment, but he can't wipe it away unless you let Him in.